Welcome to you all. Thank you for being with me today. You know, the Christian religion is over 2 millennia old. And over that span of time, we've had our opportunity to come up with some fairly ordinary, normal ways of being Christian. And we've had plenty of opportunity to come up with some truly crazy ways of being Christian. Throughout the centuries, we've had people that do things that, well, you and I might say, that's a very strange thing to do in service of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one of the examples that has always caught my imagination, kind of stayed with me, are the Assyrian monastics. The Assyrian monastics started right after the Roman Empire legalized Christianity and made it the national religion of Rome. These individuals looked at the traditional way that Christians determined whether or not they were truly faithful, that is to say, whether or not you were suffering for the faith, whether or not you were being persecuted or even murdered for your faith. The martyrs were the apex of faith as far as the Christian church had been considered for a couple of centuries. So the Assyrian monastics now look at Christianity where we're not only legal to practice our religion in Rome, we're the national religion of Rome. No one wants to persecute us anymore. So what did they do? They found ways to persecute themselves. Now, if that sounds a little crazy, go with it. That's exactly what it was. So they did things like perhaps they would have monastic orders that just ate grass, ones that stood still and never ever moved, ones that only prayed. That's it. They just prayed. They didn't eat. They didn't drink. They didn't, well, live for very long, to be perfectly frank. Most of them died in a few days. And so all of these Christians were pursuing what had long been the Christian ideal of faith, which is to say suffering. Kind of funny, transfer now to the 21st century. We have all of these preachers on television telling people that the apex of faith is that you are faithful enough that God makes you wealthy and that God makes you pretty and that God makes you healthy. And that the fundamental definition of being a successful Christian is that you're worldly successful too. That's a big change over the last 2,000 years. And I think if the Assyrian monastics were to look at the Joel Osteens of our world, they would strike them as completely insane. Just as much as I'm sure Joel would look back at people who made clothing out of poison ivy and say, well, those people are crazy. Both groups probably have a point. They're both probably kind of crazy. But when Jesus is doing his ministry, he never specifically makes it a point to say that we ought to go out of our way to inflict suffering on ourselves. I think he's pretty clear that when you serve the gospel of Jesus Christ, that's probably going to happen to you anyway. But one of the messages that is fundamental to our understanding of our Christian faith is found in today's gospel passage. And that is that the function of Jesus' ministry is first and most greatly embraced by those who are suffering. And that you notice when it says that crowds of people showed up and that they brought people on sick beds and they brought people on crutches and they brought people who were blind and deaf and lame. What you don't hear in that list of people in the giant crowds, you don't hear that people showed up in luxury yachts or that they showed up in, you know, expensive cars or whatever the equivalent of that day would be, I guess a camel. Those people aren't showing up. But those who are already suffering, those who are feeling the agonies of disease and disability, they show up in crowds and droves. And it's partially because, well, I'm sure it's largely because Jesus is healing them. But it's also because he's showing compassion on them and love. And he is actively working to make their lives better by giving them back what was broken about themselves. That probably is why the wealthy were not showing up. They already had all those things. Now, every so often in a story, you'll hear about a leader of the church or even a centurion who shows up to ask for Jesus' help. But it's because something unavoidable has happened. A loved one is sick and dying. And this is the difficult part about being of the faith. And that is that the fundamental message of Jesus Christ is that he is here to heal our brokenness. And if we're not in touch with our brokenness, it makes it very hard for us to hear the rest of his message. When we're busy patting ourselves on the back about how wealthy, healthy, and wise we are, it becomes very hard for us then to need to turn to the cross and say, but I lay my trials and troubles before you. On you I lay all my hopes, because I have no hope of my own. See, when we have everything going our way, it's very easy to look away from the cross. You know, St. Paul probably would be of the school of thought that the best thing that can always happen for a Christian church is persecution, because then we recognize just how much we must rely on God, because all of our worldly props have been taken away. I imagine most of us, you and I, people living in the 21st century here in the Western world, we're not too fond of the notion of suffering persecution. We'd probably rather avoid it if we can. But you know what? The truth to the matter goes deeper and is probably far more important. And that is, the people who have the luxury yachts and the big cars and the fancy houses, who are healthy and wealthy and have no concerns. And, you know, we minorly fit into that category, you and I, don't we? Those people are no more broken than the people that came in on those litters, that were carried in on pallets, that were limped in with their crutches. We're no different from those people. We're just as broken. Wealth doesn't heal us. Prosperity doesn't heal us. Youth doesn't heal us. Strength, health, these things don't heal what's broken inside of us. It just masks it, makes it easier for us to ignore, helps us to be distracted. We live in a world that has maximized its ability to be distracted. The fact that any of us at any point can pull a teeny tiny computer out of our pocket and say, entertain me, and it'll entertain us with music or movies or TV shows or games. We never have a moment of even suffering boredom, which, if you ask me, is probably the least trial a human can suffer. We live in a world that says, mask your brokenness, ignore your brokenness, cover up your brokenness, or worse yet, hold up your brokenness and say, oh, isn't my brokenness great? My brokenness makes me special. My brokenness makes me amazing and awesome. But it doesn't. All our brokenness does is make us broken. Brings us true sorrow of soul and unhealth of spirit. It is the wise person that looks at their life, whether they have piles of money or just some pocket change, and says, none of this stuff matters. I don't need to be an Assyrian monastic on a hillside eating grass, wearing clothes made out of poison ivy to convince myself that I'm broken. I know it. I know it in my heart. I've accepted it. When we can accept that we're broken, when we can accept that we are in need, in that moment, we become one of the crowd that's laid at the feet of Jesus Christ. And just as Jesus Christ went and offered a physical healing to each and every one of them, Jesus Christ offers a spiritual healing to you and I. It's the gift of forgiveness that says, all that brokenness within you, I forgive you. It's the gift of love. It says, all that assurance and all that fear that maybe you're not loved, I love you. It's the gift of having a God and King who cares about our well-being enough to give us guidance when we don't know the right thing to do, but knowing that there's a Holy Spirit that dwells within us that gives us wisdom beyond our own. It is the cure to our brokenness that nothing in this world can bring. We can't inflict suffering on ourselves to magically make ourselves aware of our brokenness. I mean, sure, maybe it helps. Maybe those guys were more aware of their brokenness, because those in our world who are very, very masked in their brokenness certainly don't feel the need to stand before the cross of Jesus Christ. But what we're called to do is to see ourselves not as those who've carried the fallen and the sick in to visit with Jesus on beds. We're to see ourselves on those beds. To know that what is truly good, what has been truly set aside for us, is the very Son of God and Him crucified for our sins. And that overcomes all of our hurt, all of our brokenness.